I mentioned in the book, but it's so complicated to go into various other possible actual shooters and motivators. But ultimately, it was always that they were just that. The real assassins went way up high in the echelon of our society.
And again, Jim Garrison's investigation was vindicated to a considerable extent by the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which recommended that the Department of Justice investigate David Ferry and also suggested that Clay Shaw might very well have been either a cutout to the planners or one of the planners of the assassination itself.
Well, he was, my feeling is, and Jim pretty much agreed, or vice versa, that Shaw was probably on the third level. That this thing probably had about six levels, and Shaw was on an operational level, directive level. He had been in military intelligence. He'd been probably in French military intelligence while he was in American during the war. That's during World War II. He had connections with military people, intelligence people, all over Europe. So he almost certainly, the trial actually fairly well proved, but just not beyond a reasonable doubt, that he was involved. The machinations of the government made the some evidence impossible to introduce, and Ferry was on the level below, and Bannister were on the level below Shaw. Shaw was on the level below certain people in Washington who undoubtedly were under below somebody else who now still, not that they're still alive, but their replacements are still motivating the policies of the United States and of many countries in the Western world.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Paris, in the interview itself. How would you characterize, how would you sum up the assassination of President Kennedy and what it meant and what it means to America?
I think that the assassination of the president was an invitation to an entirely new form of government. Huey Long, his countryman in terms of state, once said fascism will come to America in the name of anti-fascism, and fascism will come in the name of national security. I think that's pretty much what has happened. Curiously, even before him, Sinclair Lewis said, when fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross. And if that doesn't tell listeners something, then they're not listening.
No, indeed. And something that will tell listeners a great deal is the four-volume series, The Assassination of America, about not only the assassination of President Kennedy, but also you talk about this country's other political assassinations. By the way, Paris, you alluded to a couple of the many authors whose work you cite. One was Bill Turner, the author of, among other books, along with Warren Hinkle, The Fish is Red, later reissued under a different title, and also the author with John Christian of The Assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, arguably the best book about that crime. Also Richard Popkin, the author of The Second Oswald. Paris, tell us where people can get your four-volume series, The Assassination of America.
They can write, they can either just email me at all one line, no breaks, assassinationofamerica.com, or they can write to me at my name or at the company name Scanuscription, Scanuscription, at Post Office Box 4848, like the number of states we used to have, Scioto, S-C-I-O-T-A, Pennsylvania, 18354. Any inquiry will send to them all information about how the this out of the set or the individual last copy, if you already have the first three volumes, can be purchased.
We've been visiting with Paris Flamand, the author of The Kennedy Conspiracy and the just-released four-volume series, The Assassination of America. For Paris Flamand, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening to Side 2 of For the Record, program number 619, interview with Paris Flamand on the anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. This program is being recorded on November 18th of 2007. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.
There. Thanks for the important news, Mr. Emery. Where's that tuna fish sandwich I lent you? Well, it's WFMU, East Orange, WXHD or something, Mount Hope. Oh, God, you're here for an hour, 60 minutes of 78 RPM records. Like they're going out of style. And let's start out. Let's get right to it with some Louis Jordan.
Now, fellas, just you fellas, listen to me. Got something to tell you. I want you to listen to every word and govern yourself accordingly. Now, pay attention. You see these girls with these fine diamonds and fox furs and fine clothes? Well, Jack, they're looking for a husband. And you're listening to a man that knows.
They don't hook!
They ain't fooling. And if you fool around with them, you're gonna get yourself a schooling. If she saves your dough and won't go to a show,
beware, brother, beware.
And if she's easy to kiss and never resist, be careful.
Beware, brother,
be careful. And if you go for a walk and she just listens while you talk,
look out.
She's trying to hook you. And if nobody's looking and she asks you to taste her cooking, don't do it. Don't do it. And if you go to a show and she wants to sit in the back row,
bring her down front.
Bring her right down front. And if you go for a snack and she wants a booth in the back, watch her. She's trying to hook you. And listen, if she's used to caviar and fine silk, and when she goes out with you, she wants a hot dog and a malted milk. She's been used to going to Carnegie Hall, and when you take out nightclub and she wants to hear one meatball.
That's all.
If she grabs your hand and says, darling, you're such a nice man.
Beware,
I'm telling you.
Now,
listen to me. You think he's listening to me?
Yeah, he's listening.
You better listen to me. I'm telling you what's being put out. You better pick up on it. Now listen to this. If a sister calls you brother, you better get further, I'm telling you.
You better hit her.
You better hit her. And if she's kind of wild and she said, darling, please give me a trial. Don't do it. Don't be weak. Don't give it to her. If she looks up in your face and just melts into place,
let her
melt. Forget it. You think he's paying attention to her? Should I ask him about
it?
Should I tell him about
it?
Tell him everything. Okay, I'll tell him. Listen. If she calls you on the phone and she says, darling, are you all alone?
No,
tell her no, you got three girls with you. Don't pay no attention to women. Stand up for your rights.
That's right.
Be a man. That's
Superman.
Right. Should I tell him about
everything?
Well, listen, this is very important. If you turn out the light and she don't fight,
that's all.
That's all. That's the end. It's too late then. She got you hooked. You just well to stick with her. Put down that racing farm and pay attention to me. Now, listen. If you get home about 2 and you don't know what to do and you pull back the curtain and the whole family's looking at you, get your business straight and set the date and don't be late. Gate. So brother, beware!
Well, that's Louis Jordan and his Chimperty Five with Beware. And I just want to say, I want to make a candid revelation to you listeners of WFMU and the old Codger radio show. I'd like to confess that I'm not really the old Codger. No, I'm not. I wrote him a letter a few weeks ago, Courtney Edison, the host of this program, and I said to him, I said, anyone can do your style of radio. It's so easy. I said, and I can impersonate you better than anyone. So, Courtney called me up, and he says, come in. Come in and do the show for me on November 27, because I have to go pick up some old Vitaphone reels of Sophie Tucker and Lila Lee. So, here I am. My name is Stanley Bakersfield, and I'm here hosting the Old Codger Show tonight. Yeah, I fooled you, didn't I? You thought I was the Old Codger, but I'm not. Yeah, he says he'll be back next show. I'm just here proving that anyone can do his show and make you believe he's the codger. In fact, this is the first time in my life I've ever done a radio show. That is nothing to it. I even brought along my own 78 RPM records. Here's one.
And you hear the banjo strumming.
And you hear the
the banjos
can't
strumming.
Can't you hear the fiddle call?
Can't you hear the fiddle call?
Can't you hear the folks are dancing?
Can't you hear them
in the old Otello's hall? We'll go strolling down the levee.
We'll go strolling by the light of the moon. Listening to the fiddle and the mockingbird's tune. Oh, Miss Hannah, the cotton fields and white as snow. Way out on the river, I can hear the steamboats blow. The music and the moonlight have got me in a trance. Oh, Lordy me, Miss Hannah, let's go to that dance. Let's go to that dance. Oh, Miss Hannah, did you come in out the night? The mocking birds and the singing, and the moon and shining bright.
The woman I'm a nodding and a swaying in the breeze.
Put on your Sunday go to meeting clothes and come along, please. Come along, come along, come along.
Baby loves a daddy, a goody, goody, goody dad. They always look up to their daddy, because the daddy makes them glad. I know some daddies who give babies candy by the jar.
That's nothing.
I know daddies who give babies great big motor cars.
So how'd you like to be my daddy? How'd you like to hear me shout?
What about my dad?
Daddy to dad.
When you go out, how'd you like a little angel? Around the house to make you glad. When I say quickie-goo, just like little babies do,
I want a heart from you.
So how'd you like to be my dad?
Yodelay, yodelay, ooh. girl and a yodelee-dee. 1, 2, 12 and a yodelee-dee is all you need to do the polka.
In this little town in Tennessee, among the mountains high, lived a backwoods miss who also was quite charming to the eye. As she danced among the mountains all day long, you'd hear her cry with her
yodelay-oodle-oodle-dee. 1, 2, whirl and a yodelay-dee. A boy and a girl and a yodelay-dee. 1, 2, twirl and a yodelay-dee. Is all you need to do the polka.
Fingers snapping. Oh, let's swing it. Why anything can happen. Boy, it started in Harlem, and then in a flash, it traveled from Harlem. Now Park Avenue is taking a cue. Oh, they're swinging, calling out a number. Oh, swing it, newer than a rumba. La 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 la. Oh, they'll do it in London, and they'll do it in France. It's hot and smoky. Okie dokie
But that was another Louis, and that was Louis Prima and his orchestra. And let's swing it. Before that was Elton Britt and Rosalie Allen, and they did the Tennessee Yodel Polka. The Farber Sisters from 1918. Do you remember 1918? I didn't think so. How'd You Like to Be My Daddy was by the Farber Sisters. and the Revelers did some beautiful harmony there on Oh Miss Hannah and Joseph C. Smith and his orchestra. And that was recorded in 1493. Do you remember 1493? I didn't think so. Tell Me was a song from Joseph C. Smith and his orchestra. Well, this is not Stanley Bakersfield. That was a little joke. Did you know that? I thought so. Well, anyway, it's your time to hear Courtney T. Edison every week, or every 2 weeks, till we can get rid of Mac. Then I can be here every week. And playing 70 RPM records like they're going out of style. And here I'm at WFMU, a radio station that except for 1 hour every 2 weeks, and the Mac show, too, is a useless broadcast frequency. This is a radio station in denial. And they think they're important here. They think people are listening. Oh, they're so important. People are listening. But the WFMU staff is deluded. Did you hear me? Deluded. They think, oh, people are listening. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, they're important. But they think the listeners are enjoying. But they're not. The listeners are studying. They're analyzing. They're taking notes and scratching their heads. This is a fascinating example, WFMU is, of communal dysfunction. And it's so extreme that it is indeed important. It's of historic proportions, in fact. Why, students will be reading about WFMU generations from now, but not in courses about the history of broadcasting. They'll be reading about them in their courses about social pathology and in psychology textbooks, in the chapters about delusional belief systems and self-destructive behavior. WFMU, except when I'm on, is not about music. And it's not about entertainment. It's not about culture or the arts. It is about group psychosis. This is not a radio station. It's an asylum. I just had to get that out of my system, and I'm sure you can appreciate that if you're a regular listener to this program. You'll probably know what I'm talking about. Well, we're going to go back to the music. Let's see. How much Sophie Tucker have we heard in this hour so far? Let me think about it. I don't have to think very long, do I? No, we haven't heard any. So I guess it's time for some Sophie Tucker.
Ella was a dancing girl started getting fat. Every day brought 2 more pounds to Ella. Till one day she found she'd lost her job because of that. Then to make it worse, she lost her fella. So she sailed away to Egypt to forget. But she made such a hit that she's there yet. If you hear of a gal who can shake and quake till it makes you think of a nervous snake, they're speaking of Egyptian Ella. She weighs 220, but they don't care. They like him plenty that way out there. She has the love of every fella. She does a dance, and when she starts by the River Nile, the boys all take their old sweethearts and throw him to the crocodile. Every sheik in the audience jumps up and yells that she's immense. How they love Egyptian Ella. The boys hang around, but she plainly states she doesn't care a fig about dates. And they can't make Egyptian Ella. A sheik tried to kidnap her once, I'm told. She shook so much he lost his hold. He couldn't take Egyptian Ella. So the Pasha wrote her a royal note with his royal fist. It said because of the dance she does, she's on his royal waiting list. That's how fame of a different sort has come at last from an indoor sport to our own Egyptian Ella. All the other dancers, from the desert to the Nile, one by one admit that they are jealous. For although they dance each night and wear their sweetest smile, Ella's tent is the one that draws the fellas. And yet her dance is something they can't steal, for nothing else could do it but an eel. If you see a girl with two big hips just like the rudders on two big ships, you're looking at Egyptian Ella. With eyes of passion that blink and stare, a disposition that's almost there, you can bet a pound, that's how to tell her. She does a flip and then a flap, seems to have the knack. Last night she flip-flapped round the map and very nearly broke her back. If you want to know why men by scores have given up kilts and wear plus fours, blame it on Egyptian Ella.
With this kind of music, man won't act right. So I'm gonna get hard on him right from this very night. Gonna get me a gun, long as my right arm. You bad man, because he done me wrong. So now nothing sinful do. And I know my stuff. That's why I'm simple as can be. My man may look slow, but I can't keep. Cause he knows a lot of little dirty tricks. That's why I'm simple as can be. Take a rope and a rod, tie it around my neck, jump over the dock. That's why I'm simple as can be. I want all you girls to let my man be. Everything he got belongs to me. That's why I'm simple as can be.
Read out Bessie Smith and the Sinful Blues. Before that was the Ethel Waters and Shake That Thing. And Sophie Tucker, the last of the Red Hot Mamas. They just don't make them anymore like Sophie, my favorite singing group. And we heard her doing Egyptian Ella. Well, this is the Old Codger Show. Courtney T. Edison, the Old Codger, playing 70 RPM records. Remember, I've got shoes older than you. But it is the halfway point. It is time for a break from our sponsor. Because we have commercials on the Old Codger Show to pay the bills. I don't care that this is a non-commercial station. It just doesn't matter to me. I don't operate that way. I need money. I have a habit. 70 RPM records. And it takes money to support. Who's going to pay for my needles? Who's going to pay for the belts on my Victrolas? You know what makes the world go round. So, we now have the sponsor, the break from our sponsor, our good sponsors of the Old Codger Radio Hour.
Do the headaches spoil the day for you? Are you still feeling a little miserable and upset? Well, of course, it would have been wise to take Alka-Seltzer at work earlier in the day. But don't wait now. Take it right away. And next time, remember that Alka-Seltzer is first aid for relief from headaches. Alka-Seltzer is easy to take. Pleasant tasting, too. Here's all you do. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, then drink it. Since Alka-Seltzer is a solution when you take it, the pain-relieving analgesic sodium acetyl salicylate is ready to go right to work. And say, that fizz that creates thousands of sparkling bubbles gives speed to Alka-Seltzer's relief-giving qualities. Yes, it gets there fast to give fast relief. So remember, first aid for relief from headache is Alka-Seltzer.
Two beans times two beans is four beans.
Nescafe uses lots more beans.
10 beans times 4 beans, and add 3 more beans, make 43 rich coffee beans.
Yes, you get 43 beans in every cup of Nescafe, real coffee beans. That's all there is in Nescafe, 43 beans in every cup. Make Nescafe the all coffee instant coffee. With a let's have another cup, taste.
Extra bean means extra flavor. Today's Nescafe goes all the way for flavor with 43 choice beans in every cup.
Hey, Columbus, we can't turn back without an order from you.
I'm not talking while the flavor lasts.
What are you chewing?
Peach nut gum.
We could be in for a long voyage.
And we urge you to patronize our sponsors. Be sure to drink Pepsi, chew beechnut gum, have a cup of Nescafe, and then after you've done all that, you'll need some Alka-Seltzer. So this is the old Kaiser. I just want to say that hello to all the listeners out there. Rummy, Del Barton, my friend Rummy, Blossom Moskowitz just called in. Reminded me in her sexiest voice that she's got a soft spot for me. Good to hear from you, Blossom. And let's see who else is out there. They just sent me postcards here. Molasses Hathaway is out there. Sam. Hello, Sam. Higgins. Higgins, are you out there? I haven't heard from you, Higgins. Been a while. Haven't heard from you in 16 years. Get in touch with me. Postcard will do. Lola Bell Pancake, agent to the stars, is out there. And I'm sure that listener Arch is out there, because Arch wrote me a letter, and he asked a question. Yeah, Arch wrote in, I'm going to respond to his letter. Listener Arch wrote in and said, he says, this may be a dumb question, but how old are you? Well, Arch, there are no dumb questions. Only idiotic questions asked by dumb people. How old? My age is an impressive multiple of your IQ. You can't count that high without an advanced degree in mathematics. I have more trailing zeros in my age than you probably have in your paycheck. Arch, but I'm glad you asked, because it gave me a chance to discourage other listeners from asking. Yes. It's a secret, you know. Ladies can hide their age. Why can't I? Well, back to the music. You know, I promised you nothing. I didn't make any promises. I never do. Except to play 78 RPM records like they're going out of style. Yes. We have some Dizzy Gillespie right now. Yes.
Bob.
Gluck 'em up.
Life used to be a gay thing, a filled with happiness, night and day thing. It was something to have and to hold. But it seems that your love grew cold. I never knew that our romance had ended until you poisoned my food. And I thought it was a lie when you kicked me in the heart. But now I think it was rude. I never knew that our romance had finished until that bottle hit my head. Though I tried to be aloof when you pushed me off the roof, I feel our romance is dead. It wouldn't have been so bad if you told me that someone had taken my place. But no, you didn't even scold me. You just tried to disfigure my face. You'll never know how my poor heart is breaking. It looks so helpless, but then life used to be so placid. Won't you please put down that acid and say that we're sweethearts again? Oh, how well I remember that night in Bridgeport. That was the night you gave me the hot foot. I thought there was sort of a strange look in your eyes, but then you smiled and, well, it made everything all right. Then there was a time we went canoeing and you set fire to my dress. You said you pushed me overboard to put out the flame, but I never quite understood why you held me underwater so long. Now, I've never met this girl who's taking my place, but I wish you all the happiness in the world. And if there's anything I can do, you know, you can always reach me in room number 304 in the General Hospital. Farewell, my sweet. You'll never know how my poor heart is breaking. It looks so helpless, but then my love can go just so far. Won't you please put down that crowbar and say that we're sweethearts again.
Smoke rings I blow each night. Oh, what do? Those circles of blue and white. Why do they seem to picture a dream of love? Then why do they fade that phantom parade of love? Puff your cares away. Puff. working day. Blow, blow them into air, silky little rings. Blow, blow them everywhere, give your troubles wings.
Man, that was the wonderful Brock Sisters. That's with an X. I know I have enunciation problems. These dentures, damn it. And I'm on my third set of dentures are younger than you. Anyway, that was the Brock Sisters with an X, Brox, and lay me down to sleep in Carolina. Then we heard the Mills brothers with smoke rings, and Dorothy Shay, the Park Avenue hillbilly, did say that we're sweethearts again. And Dizzy Gillespie, with the funny-looking horn, did oobop shabam. This is the old Godger WFMU. I want to say, I forgot to say a couple of weeks ago, say goodbye to the baseball season. It's over. And so is Barry Bonds' career. I've never seen anybody with a head so big. Ah, they could tether it with Dacron line and float it into Macy's Day Parade. Anyway, he's taking all these drugs, hitting all these home runs, but you know, substance abuse is nothing new in baseball. But in the old days, they drank their poison. I don't know if you remember Bugs Raymond. He pitched for St. Louis. Back a century ago, he drank a lot. Bugs drank a lot. The more he drank, the better he pitched. He was a pitcher. And he had this nasty spitball. But he didn't actually spit on the ball. He just breathed on it. And then the ball would arrive at the plate, drunk. So they finally tossed Bugs off the team. He drank so much he was leaving his whiskey bottles all over the dugout floor. And his teammates were tripping over them and getting injured and going on the disabled list. So they couldn't run the team that way, so they released him in 1911. And Bugs drifted into the minor leagues. Now, what happened next is kind of strange. Bugs eventually found God, or maybe God found him, in the gutter. Anyway, it was quite a pairing, Bugs and God, because Bugs stopped drinking. And he joined a team of evangelical Christians. They were based in Maladroit, Wisconsin. Their team was the Maladroit Bible Thumpers. So it was a very strange team with a very odd approach to playing ball. I don't understand the strategy. Every time the opposing team hit a ball at a fielder, the entire team stopped. They knelt down and they prayed to the Lord that the fielder would catch the ball and the batter would be out. Well, by the third game, they realized this was a losing proposition. So the team disbanded, and they all went back to drinking. I also want to say about modern baseball that I hate pitch counts. Where a guy gets paid $50 million a year to pitch, what, 6 innings a month? They didn't have relief specialists, you know, back before the Great War. Now the guy comes in, pitches to one batter, and he gives him an intentional walk. And then they come out and yank him and tell him to go take a shower. Well, there was this one guy, let me tell you, in the old days in '07, I'll never forget him. It was old Iron Arm McNulty. He pitched for the New York Highlanders. Yeah, he won 9 straight shutouts in 7 days. Pitched 2 complete doubleheaders with no sleep, because he'd stay up all night dealing aces and smoking Havana cigars and chasing after the baseball annies. Anyway, McNulty always said he tried not to drink anything stronger than gin on the morning of a game. I'll never forget, was it game 6 of the 1912 series against the Pirates? McNulty, he was a fireballer. He threw a pitch so hard, he pulled his right arm right out of joint, right out of the socket. Ah! Snapped at the elbow. Well, you could hear it in the stands. It was like a branch breaking off a tree. Well, McNulty wouldn't let the manager take him out of the game. He was a gamer. Old Iron Arm was. He didn't complain. He went right on pitching. Between innings, they patched him up with a hammer and a 3-inch nail, and they wrapped the arm with a bandage, a bandage that was fashioned from asbestos sheets that they found in the clubhouse. And he went out, and he finished the game. And he won. And he'd have been ready for game 7 the next day if they'd asked him. Yes, back in the old days, they had durability. Yes, they knew how to last. They didn't give up, they didn't quit early. Anyway, so goodbye to the baseball season. Goodbye to Barry Bonds. Who cares? And you're not Babe Ruth, you understand? There was nobody like the Bambino. Enough baseball now. We got only time for one or two more songs. Then the second best show on WFMU comes on. In the meantime, this is Courtney, old Kaiser, and we got some Whispering Jack Smith right here.
Baby cheeks and turned up nose and curly hair. I'm raving about my baby now. Pretty little dimples here and dimples there. Don't want to live without her. I love her, goodness knows. I wrote a song about her, and here's the way it goes. Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something. Baby face, I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a show, cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby face. You were just a baby, that's not so long ago. You must have been the cutest thing. And I can picture you at every baby show. Just winning every ribbon. Your sweet baby way. Say, honest, I ain't fibbing. You win them all today with that little baby face. You've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face. My poor heart is jumping. You have started something with that baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a show, cause I just naturally fell in love with your pretty baby face. Now baby face, I used to always call you baby face. And I dialed you up in prettiest baby lace, you remember? Baby face. Why, I never even tarried. But after we were married, oh, baby face. It's asking alimony, and it's a funny case. Since she got the ring, I call her everything. Well, that is everything but baby face. Baby face. You'll look pretty with that baby face. You'd win the beauty prize in any race. Baby face, you must be athletic. Or is it just cosmetic? Baby face, at any baby show, you'd surely take first place. But at the break of dawn, with all the makeup gone, oh boy, what a face.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have time to play another 78 RPM record because Sharpie Sharpling's here to do the show. So I just want to say it's been swell. That was Whispering Jack Smith with Babyface from 1920-something or other. And I want to say I'll be back in 2 weeks with the radio show again here on WFMU. Let me see if there's somebody else I'm about to say hello to. Get all this mail here. Hey, thank you so much for sending all these letters here at the Codger Action Network. You can write to me at the radio station, and you can also call me at home. I give my phone number out on the air. I don't know, some of these people at the radio station, they're so snooty that they don't give their home phone numbers out. But I do. You can call me. I'm in a book. But you can write down my phone number because I'll give it to you right now. I've given it out many times. I've had the same phone number since 1892. Hasn't changed. So, you got a pencil? Okay, here's my phone number. It is 6. So, give me a call sometime. Be careful, don't dial 5. Don't get a wrong number. That person's really nasty. Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, stay tuned for the second best show on WFMU. This is Courtney T. Edison, the old codger, saying Goodbye. This is WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Radio show ever.
Hey, who's this?
Well, I am Buddy Swales, Governor of Alabama.
Hi, it's Gerald Perlmutter.
Tom Sharpling, Governor of Party.
Hey, Tom, it's Purple Sir.
Hey, Tom, it's Mark Michaels.
This is Richard Collier from Chicago.
What's your name?
Barrington.
Barrington. And well, what's inside the tube?
Fire. Why? Maurice Kearns?
Horrifying.
Hey, Tom, it's Bruce.
Tommy!
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Gingivitis.
Yes,
they have Rick Maloney at the Wawa. I go to
what? I hate you.
It's Peter.
Hey, it's Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
Roger Devil.
My name is Ollie Farinaki.
I'll say it. You'll hear it. You'll do it. I'll get it. You'll learn it. I'll live with it and you'll die without it.
Smash your trash.
There, I'm calling from Tacoma.
Good day.
What's up, Tom? This is Tristan.
Hey, it's Michelle.
Yeah, Tom, this is Jim Riffle. How you doing?
When I get to do the toilet talk now.
The vaudeville of the new century.
My name is Tom Riley. I'm calling from New Zealand.
Hey, man.
Ted, don't stand without the tentpole. This is a tentpole show.
Hey, this is Ted Leo.
What? This is Petey from the future.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
Hey, from Knoxville.
Super caller.
It's Officer Tom.
My name is Mike Sajak.
Get off my phone. I don't care.
Hey, this is Zippy Pants, man.
I'm going to go to bed now, Fopper.
Hey, Tom. It's Gord.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I was in a band in the early 90s. My name is Jerry Page.
Tom, my name is Jeffrey Ludell. It's a fat, diseased, wild orangutan, isn't it?
The disenfranchised have a home now. I'm the hero of the disenfranchised.
I'm the first B. My first name is the same as the famous tennis player Bjorn Borg. Now, we've toured many countries. We've been in Europe, we've been in Australia, and we sure would like to come to Japan and do some concerts as well. But now, this time, it's just a TV special. And now, I'd like to introduce the A in front of me. Here she is.
Hello, I'm Agneta. I know it's very hard for you to pronounce, but you can say Anita, or you can say Anna. When we came here, we discovered that you have very long days. In Sweden, we have only 5 hours daylight by now. We go skiing, we play ice hockey, and we talk about love. And here's the next B.
Hello, I'm B for Benny. I just wonder what you people know about Sweden and the Swedes. I guess you heard about the midnight sun. You've probably heard about the writer August Strindberg and our movie maker Ingmar Bergman and maybe Alfred Nobel and the Nobel Prize. And if you listen to music, I hope that you've heard about the lady that I'm going to present to you right now. Here's Frida.
Hello, my name is Anne Frida, the last A in ABBA. We all met because of our interest in music and also because the boys fell madly in love with us girls. So it all came very natural, and as we have known each other for so long, it's quite easy to keep the group together. And now I would like to introduce our next song, and it's Money, Money, Money.
To pay the bills I have to pay, 80 cents. And still it never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. To be free, I bet you wouldn't fancy me. That's too bad. So I must leave. I have to go to Las Vegas or Monaco. And when I watch you in a game, my life will never be the same.
Money, money, money must be funny. Money, 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 always sunny.
drive you insane. Hey, look out, fellas. Me and Basher. And here she comes.